Hear now the word of the Lord from Mark 1, 21 through 34. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not like the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. In a little synagogue, in a little town, the beginnings of the good news of Jesus are strange beginnings. Strange beginnings. I've been to Capernaum. The excavation of the synagogue, no surprise, is at the top of the center of town. And when you leave the synagogue and head toward the lake, aka the Sea of Galilee, that's where the people lived. Now for us, it would be as though we walked together this morning out of this building, past the excavators and bulldozers and rubble, across the street to the apartments. Strange beginnings, number one, happens in here. And strange beginning number two happens in someone's home. Both stories, and this is common in the Gospel of Mark, carry the same weight and the same message, but they look different and they look incredibly strange. Let's not miss, by the way, that Mark gives us a little foreshadowing of a controversy that will happen in the next chapter when the powers that be challenge, question, and get this, plan to kill Jesus because he healed someone on the Sabbath. But before he attracts that attention, our two stories here at the very beginning also happen. Did you hear the opening line, at least for this morning in Mark 1, 21, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Already, before Jesus ever says a word about it or teaches in Mark, what Jesus practices is that people are more important than the law. And we know that from the very first chapter of Mark because he healed on the Sabbath. But he did teach because in the next verse, even though Mark has not let us in on the teaching yet, Mark goes out of his way to tell us that the people, when Jesus was teaching, were amazed. They were amazed. Have you ever been amazed by Jesus? When was the last time that you were amazed? Think about it for a minute. When was the last time that you were amazed? Do you remember what it was like to be a child when everything was amazing? Mom can carry that heavy box. That's amazing. Dad can stand on one leg and make a basket and a basketball goal that's at least 100 feet high. That's amazing. And whatever Jesus said that day, before the strange stories ever start to unfold, the people look at it and they're amazed. Now keep in mind that for the Gospel of Mark, we will see that no group of people find Jesus more amazing than the disciples themselves. And as we go along, we will see that what Mark is really telling us whenever he says that the disciples were amazed is that they were confused. We may at times be amazed by Jesus like a child in wonder, but sometimes, do you ever feel confused as a Jesus follower? Yes. You ever feel confused? But rest assured, because this Jesus that we know from the very beginning, and the very, very beginning of the story tells us this, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior. So when we hear that Jesus teaches as one with authority, we're not surprised, even if, admittedly, we are at least a little amazed. And it's at that very moment that a man walks into our building. And he's crying. And he's hollering. He is yelling like someone possessed. Something is off. But what feels most off is that this wild man seems to know who Jesus is in a way that we have yet to accept. He talks to Jesus as though they know each other. Did you notice that? The language, his words, even though it all sounds so very crazy, also sounds familiar. So familiar. And it's at this point that the wild man in our midst says to the amazing man in our midst, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Wait, did he just say us? Like we? As in the royal we? But before we can wonder in amazement anymore, Jesus speaks. Now, we heard the translation of the story that we just read say that Jesus spoke sternly. The word in the Greek New Testament is a bit stronger. It is the word rebuke. Jesus rebuked him. But all Jesus said sternly with rebuke was, "Be quiet and come out of him." And I don't know if you noticed when we read the story, but for our two strange beginning stories, those are the only words that Jesus actually says. That's it. Did you notice that? And if that's not amazing enough, in the Greek New Testament, it's not six words, "Be quiet, come out of him." It's not six words. Depending on the manuscript, it might actually have only been two. Phimotheti and exulthe. Quiet. Out. But as we hear these strangely amazing things, don't forget who is saying these two words. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the Anointed One, the Savior. Don't forget that this Jesus has the power and authority to say these things in your own life too. Quiet. Out. You ever feel off? Strange? Odd? Out of control of your life? Do you believe today that Jesus can quiet your off, strange, odd, out of control? Jesus may need to speak into your own heart today. Into my own soul. And I'm telling you that He does. And what Jesus says is, quiet. Out. And sometimes Jesus has to say such things sternly. Sometimes we need rebuke when our hearts get too hard, too possessed by the ways of the world. But the good news is, Jesus has the authority. It's no wonder that Mark tells us that news spread fast around the lake. But right when you think that things are about to speed up, before we get to the confrontation with the Pharisees who are going to try to swoop down and Sabbath Jesus properly, we walk across the street, past the excavators, past the bulldozers, past the rubble, across the road a piece, and this time we do not meet a stranger, but a family member. We do not go into a random house, but into the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon, aka Peter. We walk into Simon Peter's mother-in-law's apartment, or maybe Simon Peter's apartment. Probably they all lived together. She was in bed. She had a fever. They told Jesus, Mark tells us that they told Him immediately. Mark says that a lot, by the way. Immediately. It's Mark's way of telling us as the reader that something is urgent. This is probably not a fever from a nagging cold. No, this is probably much worse. She might have been dying. So, Jesus went to her. Do you ever need that too, by the way? You ever feel like you need Jesus' urgent presence when something is really, really wrong? But notice that Jesus does not say strong words this time. Jesus does not rebuke. Jesus does not say two strong words. Matter of fact, Jesus doesn't say a single thing. Jesus takes her hand, helps her up, and that's it. Fever's gone. Everything is right with the world. Does that sound good? You ever need that from your Messiah, your Christ, your Savior, our Savior, our Jesus? Do you ever need that? We all do. We all need that. Jesus, hold my hand. Sometimes when Jesus heals, it is a scene of tremendous commotion and chaos and even violence, because sometimes the things that we let rule our hearts are things of commotion and chaos and violence. But sometimes when Jesus heals, it's simple, compassionate, and most of all, healing. The naysayers may say that you just need God to hold your hand. Well, yeah, of course I do. Do you need that? We all do. We all need that. It's not coincidence, my friends, that these stories have inspired God's people so much that we end up writing songs about it. Songs that even say things like, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ at Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day. You help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand, for I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.